Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. How easily these words roll off our lips when we use them for advice for someone else. And how much do these words hurt and disturb when we hear them spoken to us? My friends, it's interesting that the older I get, the more impatient I become. I get cranky with my body that won't do what it used to be able to do. I get a little upset when I have to repeat more than once for those whose hearing is more impaired than mine, and even for some people whose hearing isn't impaired. I get impatient sometimes when things don't go well as expected in liturgical celebrations. And I know a number of you here can relate to my impatience. See, I got a really good response there. I'm impatient when the 30 pounds that has appeared to amplify my flesh won't miraculously disappear. I get impatient when I find out that I have arthritis in the meniscus of my knee and can hardly walk. All small print now needs reading glasses. Names sometimes escape my memory, and time refuses to stand still. I just want my old self back, my young, in-shape, quick-minded me. So when Advent calls for newness, my growing older gives a great reason for me to be impatient. Yet in all of this impatience, there is a sense of great hope. Here we are in the middle of Advent. We pause for a moment of rejoicing because everything we've been waiting for and hoping for is soon to be realized. Today, the third Sunday of Advent is called Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete in Latin means rejoice. And this particular verse comes from the opening verse, the introit of today's liturgy. And as a symbol of this, the violet of the Advent season are softened to a rose color. But my friends, this third Sunday of Advent isn't a period of rest taken during a long journey. It's more like a short stop at a scenic view, where we stand in awe of the incredible panorama before us. And today, from our vantage point, we get a glimpse of that. Both the first reading and the gospel passage promise restoration and new life. In the first reading, Isaiah offers hope to the Israelites who feel separated from their God because they had been separated from their holy land. But after years of patience and incredible perseverance in Babylon, they are now able to return from their exile to their ancestral temple in Mount Zion. And Isaiah goes on to assure them that God would come in power to save them. And those signs of God's coming will be that the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, the mute will speak, and the parched land will now blossom with flowers and trees. And we see the tension between hope and patience in our first reading from Isaiah. We also see this contrast in the gospel. The picture of John the Baptizer in today's gospel is quite different from last Sunday's thundering charismatic figure preaching to the crowds along the Jordan. John has now been thrown into prison by Herod for publicly denouncing the king's unlawful marriage to Herodias. And from his prison cell on the brink of death, John was in the midst of an urgent identity crisis. Not only was he unsure about himself, but Jesus wasn't meeting his expectations. Is this what it all comes down to? Was it all worth it? We might well imagine John the Baptizer asking himself. And just like John, There are times when we too can become doubtful or disillusioned when things don't happen as we think they should. Maybe the prison cell played tricks upon John's mind, and he began to question and doubt. Who are you, Jesus? Who are you really? Are you the right one? So in this moment of despair, John sends out disciples to see if Jesus is really the one they have been expecting. And Jesus honors John's question by providing sort of an answer. Jesus reminds John's messengers about the fruits of his own ministry. The blind will see, the lame shall walk, lepers will be cleansed, the deaf will hear, the dead will be raised, the poor will have the good news proclaimed to them. Words that echo Isaiah in our first reading today. Take this good news to John, says Jesus. In other words, Jesus says that you don't have to wait any longer because the time is here and now. Be patient. Happy are those who don't lose faith in me. Then Jesus turns to the crowd and praises John as a prophet and messenger of the Messiah in words that would make an excellent overview of the Advent experience for us. John the Baptizer wasn't some vacillating crowd pleaser, like a blade of grass swaying in the breeze that bends in the wind of public opinion. Nor was John a compromiser, one of those well-dressed and powerful in-crowd persons who was welcome at Herod's palace. John instead ends up not in Herod's palace, but in Herod's prison, where he would lose his head, but never his heart. John's heart had been lost long ago to Jesus, and no doubt Jesus' message sent back to John in prison confirmed John the Baptizer in his love. Jesus offered him the truth that the way to deep faith often goes through incredible doubt. John the Baptizer remained true to his ministry despite obstacles and his own doubts that he faced along the way while preparing the way of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, throughout these weeks of Advent, the prophet Isaiah sings and dreams of the transformation that God's coming will bring. Just as Israel came through the wilderness into the promised land, so God will again lead his people out of the desert of despair and doubt. Creation will be healed, and human fears, disappointments, and oppression will blossom into joy. This is the promise of Advent, that out of the darkest time of the year, light will come. But I wonder how many of those who heard Jesus really believed his words. Did they realize that their world was being transformed before their eyes? But then do we? Do we embrace the sick? Do we protect the most fragile among us? Do we work for peace? Do we help free those held captive by poverty or addiction or fear? Like the Israelites in exile and like John in prison, we too can sometimes lose our perspective. And as a consequence, our vision of God's promise becomes cloudy. My friends, as we prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus and strive to make this world more like the kingdom of which Jesus spoke, that same exhortation of James could be addressed to us today on this Sunday of joy. You too must be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. Amen.